Welcome, friends, to today's episode of The Open Word. It's a special program from Strong Tower Radio where we actually study the Bible instead of just talking about it. My name is Wes Peppers, and I'm going to be your host for today, and we'll be using, once again, the It Is Written Bible Study Guides. And today we're going to be studying lesson number 15, entitled Living Life to the Fullest. A lot of our listeners, you may not know that the Bible speaks a lot about physical health and its correlation and relationship to spiritual health and mental health. And so we're going to be exploring that today from the Bible. Now, friends, if you'd like to get your own set of these wonderful It Is Written study guides, all you have to do is go to BibleStudyOffer.com and click on the Request Free Bible Study link, and we'll be glad to get those to you, and you can have those for yourself as we go through them in each program. Today, and we'll be studying lesson number 15, so if you have those lessons, you can follow along. If not, just grab your Bibles and join in. Now, today I'm joined with my friend here in the studio, Evelyn Kissinger. And Evelyn, you are a registered dietitian, is that correct?
That's right, registered dietitian.
And so you well qualify for the subject we're going to study today.
Well, I'm pretty excited about how the Bible talks about good health and the things that we can do that can enhance our health and that we can live a vibrant and abundant lifestyle.
Absolutely. Now, you're also the nutritionist for a worldwide program called Lifestyle Matters. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That's right. Lifestyle Matters is about helping people to enjoy life, to find physical, mental, spiritual, social health. And it isn't as hard as a lot of people think to eat healthfully, to get a walk every day, to get out in the sunshine. So we develop materials that will help people along that line. I think where it comes hard is that we're in a culture where it's sometimes difficult to make those good choices. But we have a lot of materials on lifestylematters.com, so you can find us there on the web and enjoy the materials that are there.
Absolutely. And I've seen these materials from Lifestyle Matters all around the world. This is really a global ministry, and you've helped tens of thousands of people on their way to better health. And friends, when we improve our physical health, it improves our mental health and how we feel, and it opens our minds up more fully to spiritual things when we open the Bible. So we're glad you're with us. Now, you've also worked in hospitals, you've taught at universities, you've developed curriculums for various corporations and groups, and so you've had quite a bit of experience with this.
Yes, I have seen people's lives transform in just a matter of weeks, actually. When people decide to embrace a healthy lifestyle, you can see the body repair itself, the mind and body and spirit all work together, and it's pretty miraculous.
That's a very interesting thing, and we're going to discover this today, that many of the principles about health that the Bible brings out are actually being now scientifically supported in
Absolutely.
Today's news and studies.
Yes.
It's very fascinating to see
it
that.
Is.
And friends, I want to remind you that we have, as always on every program, a free offer we'd love to give to you, and it is called Fabulous Health Made Simple by Pastor Steve Wolberg. This is a wonderful little book that you can gain, and it has biblical principles for good health, many of the things that you teach at Lifestyle Matters, and we want to offer that to you for free. All you have to do is call our number here at the studio at 231-468-2087. Again, that number is 231-468-2087. And we'll be glad to send you this little booklet, Fabulous Health Made Simple, absolutely free. We'd just like to begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together here today to study your word. As we talk about health and what the Bible says about health, we just pray that you would guide our hearts today and help us to have that better health. And Lord, many people today are trapped in habits and lifestyles that are really destroying them, but you've promised power to overcome them. So we ask your blessing to be with us just now, and we come in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you know, many of our listeners may not be familiar with the fact that the Bible talks a lot about physical health.
Yes.
And in fact, there's over 1,000 verses in the Bible dealing with physical health. And so God wants us to be in good health, once again, because it allows our mind and our hearts to be more open to communicate with Him.
That's right. You know, our physical health has a lot to do with our mental health and our brain health. We're learning so much about brain health, and that the things that we eat, the types of foods we eat or don't eat, getting exercise actually creates new brain cells in the amygdala and dentate gyrus of the brain, and our thinking patterns. So all of these things, it contributes. Physical and mental health cannot be separated. It's really the same. And having great brain health is the way that we communicate with God.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes there are certain foods that we can eat that can clear our minds.
Right.
And there's other foods we can eat that will clog our minds.
Clog them right up. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Just looking at the brain, what percent of the brain do you think is fat?
I have no idea.
It's surprising. 50 to 60% of the brain is fat. And the types of fat that we eat is reflected in the chemistry of the brain. So all those neurons are covered with a layer of myelin sheath, which is fat. And those neural transmitters are serotonin and dopamine, those 53 different neurotransmitters. They are influenced by the type of fat that we eat. And also eating good carbs. We hear about bad carbs, you know, or low carbs, but good carbs. And we're going to talk about some of those today that, you know, God gave to us and for health and good food and good brain health. All of that matters. All that matters for our physical health and our mental health.
And so the food that he's designed for us will produce in our bodies, will use that food to produce the right type of chemicals for proper brain function, proper heart function,
right,
and the rest of our body as well.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm excited to dive in, and let's go to our lesson here, and then we're going to come back to some of these other scientific facts as well. But in our lesson guide, again, friends, we're on lesson number 15 in the It Is Written series. It says, how important is our health? And we're going to find the answer to this from 3 John chapter, verse 2. Rather, there's only one chapter. There's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, very close to the book of Revelation. 3rd John, verse 2.
Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.
So what are we finding here, Evelyn, as God's desire for us in regards to health?
God desires us to have life. That's the creation story, is that God gave life, and he wants us to have life abundantly, and he wants us to prosper, and he has given us the guidelines to do that. So to prosper in all things, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, all of these things is his desire. But when we don't have health, then we're in trouble, aren't we? A Greek philosopher said, when health is absent, wisdom cannot reveal itself. Art cannot become manifest, strength cannot exert itself, wealth is useless, and reason is powerless. Without health, what do we have?
We don't have much at all, do we?
No, we don't. And we're looking at complete wholeness. And it's not just physical, but it's mental, spiritual, social as well.
You mentioned the creation story, and in the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2, you find that God had really created for Adam and Eve the perfect environment for good health. All the right foods, the right type of air, fresh water, and all these things that contribute to good mental, spiritual, emotional health, he gave those things to them in the very beginning. So it was really God who created these laws of health, is it not?
It is, yes. And he continually says, I want to give you life. And creation story is all about life. And he continues to want to give us that. And we're going to talk more about that when we get
to the food. And of course, sin entering the world has really interrupted all those things, from the environment to the atmosphere to our thinking. Every piece has been interrupted, but God has a plan to restore us.
He's about restoration, recovery, and renewal on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a look now. Back at our lesson, number 2 says, why did God share principles of good health with his people? We find the answer there in Exodus 23, verse 25. He says, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And then he says something very interesting. I will take disease away from the midst of you. So God promises that when we follow these health laws, we're going to be free from many of the diseases that we find in our society today.
That's true. We certainly see a correlation between the choices that we make and the diseases that we see. The lifestyle diseases such as diabetes, heart disease, many forms of cancer and arthritis are directly related to choices that we make. But we must say that there are people who do follow these principles, and sometimes they do have premature death. But the general rule is that when certain choices are made, there are consequences. And as we practice a healthy lifestyle, we see prevention. We see the prevention of diabetes. And I'm an example of that. My grandmother had insulin-dependent diabetes and had amputations. And I know that because of choices that I'm making, I'm living a much healthier lifestyle. But our society is being devastated because of these lifestyle choices that we're making and the disease prevalence that we see. I've been involved in many programs where we see when choices are made in a positive direction that the body can recover. It's about restoration and recovery. Yeah. One incident is working in the Marshall Islands with a diabetes program. It was a government study that in 2 weeks we were able to see significant reversal of diabetes in a very short time. And in corporate wellness programs that I've done, we've seen cholesterol levels go down, which reduce risk of heart disease, and blood sugar levels balance as people are losing weight and making healthy choices. So God is about wanting abundance in our life, and He has given us those principles that we can enjoy. And this is all about enjoyment as well. It's about abundance. So, it's not about deprivation.
Yeah. So a lot of these lifestyle diseases, you're saying if a person finds themselves, well, that some of them can actually be reversed by changing our lifestyle.
Yes.
You know, I grew up in a certain region in the United States, which I won't name because I don't want to offend anyone, but where I grew up, people would just kind of eat whatever they wanted to. And I'd say, you'd say, man, that, you know, that could kill you. And they say, well, at least I won't die hungry, or at least I'll die eating what I enjoy eating, you know. And really, in this group of people, many of them were overweight, more than the national average, and they had all kinds of health problems, and many people having low quality of life, even in their 50s and 60s, and dying prematurely. And the attitude was, well, it doesn't really matter what I eat. It doesn't really matter how I live. When it's my time to go, it's my time to go. It doesn't really matter how I live, but we're going to find, and we are finding scientifically and biblically, that that's really not the case, that what we do, our lifestyle choices, do make a difference. Is that right?
They absolutely make a difference. And it's not just in living longer, it's quality of life. The quality of life today, that I want vibrant, I want to be sharp, I want to be nice. You know,
even
some of the choices we make, and we don't feel so good, and maybe we're not so nice.
A little snappy
with other
people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, you know, 70% of the diseases that we see in this country are lifestyle related. And our $3 trillion debt in expense for health in our country is showing that there are problems. And the new stats now on weight is that 70% of adults are overweight.
That's incredible.
A third of our children are overweight. And children that were born in 2000, it's expected that a third of them will have diabetes in their lifetime. And so they are now the children who are entering college at 18 this next year.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So bad health can also attack our wealth, right?
It's really
very expensive to be in bad health. And we want to practice preventative. Well, number three, it kind of leads into what we've just been talking about. What sort of life does Jesus promise us in John chapter 10, verse 10?
In John 10, 10, it says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly.
So I think we've established that Jesus wants us to have that abundant life, and He has provided the necessary means to do so. And if we follow His way, He promises that our life will be more abundant. We will be better, feel better, look better. So we're going to talk a little bit about what some of those things are. Well, an important principle, kind of as a foundation, is our next question here. It says, what does the Bible call our body? And we find the answer to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. I think a lot of people don't realize the importance of this principle. And for many of our Bible-believing friends here that may be listening in, this is a New Testament concept. And many times there's a lot of things that people just want to throw out because they think, oh, that's Old Testament, that's Old Covenant. But here's a New Testament principle that we find actually in multiple places in the Bible, and science is backing up today. And here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So right there we see a connection between physical and spiritual health. He says, your body is the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. So there's the combination of those two. Then he says in verse 20, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So we often think about praising God and glorifying God with our hearts or our spirits, or, you know, just our spiritual lives, but rarely do Christians think about glorifying God with their bodies. What exactly do we mean by that?
Well, the body includes the brain, doesn't it? The body and the brain.
It does.
And when you have a healthy body, a healthy brain, then you're probably going to be a little happier about going about doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have more energy and vibrancy in doing that. And I think this is also a call to holiness and obedience. To say, I'm trusting God with my body. The choices that I make are reflecting what I think about God and what He's saying. And it's a form of worship, really, to say, I am choosing to do what God has asked. And I'm respecting this body that God has given to me and taking care of it. I'm going to give it the sleep it needs. I'm going to give it the food it needs. I'm going to give it the physical activity that it needs. And then the result of that is abundance.
Yeah, that's right. And we only have one body.
we only get one per person.
and you know, I think it's so vital here because having one body, you know, recognizing that God always has what's best for us. And so it's really a matter of trusting Him.
It's trust.
When He says, I want you to have life and life more abundant, well, He's not going to tell us that and then not provide what is necessary to have that life.
That's right.
So understanding from the Bible and from the science what is best for our body and then putting those things into practice is a way that we can honor God with our body. We're going to take a break here briefly, but when we come back, we're going to find a little more specifically how we can actually glorify God in our body, some practical things, daily things that we can do in our life to live that life that is more abundant. So friends, stay with us. We got a lot more to cover. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Would you like to be a blessing to others? Do you want to see others in the kingdom of God? And become a covenant partner. Won't you prayerfully consider doing this today? That's www.strongtowerradio.org to support your Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back from our break, friends, to The Open Word, and we've been studying here about physical health and how it correlates to mental and spiritual health. The Bible has a lot to say about health, and we've been digging here in Scripture, and we're going to get more in-depth here in just a moment, but I just want to remind you, if you'd like to get your free set of It Is Written Bible Study Guides, you can go to BibleStudyOffer.com, and those are there available free to you. You just click on that link, and we will be glad to send those to you. I also want to remind you of our free offer today, a little book called Fabulous Health Made Simple by Pastor Steve Wahlberg. If you'd like to have that for free, you can just call our number here at the studio at 231-468-2087, and we'll be glad to get that to you for free. Well, I'm glad to once again welcome our guest, Evelyn Kissinger, Director and Registered Dietitian of Lifestyle Matters, and we're so glad you could be with us here today. We've had a good conversation so far, and we're just going to get right back into it. We've been talking about health and how God calls us, especially in the last days of Earth's history, which we're living in, to glorify Him not just with our spiritual lives, but our physical lives, not just our spiritual choices, but our physical choices, and that what we eat and what we put in our bodies will make a difference in how we feel, how we think, and ultimately how we view and choose God.
Yes.
And so there's a verse that I'd like to go to, Evelyn, as we begin here, and it's in the book of Revelation chapter 14. It's a very important verse that I believe is very relevant for our generation today and for our listeners. It just describes perfectly the concept that we're talking about here. Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7. If you'd be willing to read that for us, I would love to have you do that.
Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water."
All right, so the Bible tells us that God is calling people the earth in the last days to fear him. And of course, we don't mean by that to be afraid of him, but to give reverence, to
respect.
Give awe.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given us many reasons why we can love and respect and honor him. But he says here, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment has come. So God is calling us to give glory. We've already seen, the Bible says, do that through our spiritual, but also our physical bodies. Now, I want to guide us here to a verse that will show us practically how to do that. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Could you read that for us?
Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Now, can you just break that down for us and just give us a picture of what that means?
This is about choices. It's about worship. It's about a response to God in our eating, our drinking, our behavior. It's about even expressing thankfulness to God for what he has given. So whether we eat or drink, all of these choices that we make on a daily basis is going to reflect where does my allegiance lie and who do I worship?
Let me just back up here. So you're saying that every aspect of my life, even what I eat, what I drink, will tell whose allegiance I've given.
Which side you're on.
Which side am I on?
Which side you're on.
That's mind-blowing.
We think of the Daniel story,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when he was called to be set at the king's table,
mm-hmm.
he said, am I going to give allegiance to God, the creator who gives life, or am I going to follow the world? Am I going to follow the king? And his choice was to give glory to God in what he ate and drank and how he behaved.
Absolutely. You find that story in Daniel chapter 1, when Dan's a prisoner in the kingdom of Babylon. He'd been taken prisoner by Nebuchadnezzar, and he's sat at a table, and he's placed in front of him all these things that God had said, these are not the best for you. These are not what I created for you to eat. And Daniel had to make a choice, and his life was really on the line. And in verse 8, it actually says that Daniel purposed in his heart.
So he thought about it before he got there.
That's right.
And I think if we would like think about what we're going to eat before we go out to eat, maybe we could purpose in our heart the direction that we want to go and choose life and make those good choices.
That would give us strength in that moment when we see the menu
or we're starving.
Smell that person's food across the way there.
Right.
And we can say, you know what? I'm purposing my heart to honor God. Just like Daniel did. And the story ends when Daniel is found to be 10 times wiser because he did honor God. He did choose what God had for him, and God blessed him and used him to reach that king.
So we see some brain health going on there, don't we?
Lots of it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. So he's making those choices before he actually gets into that situation.
It's very important.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to keep moving here. In question number 6, it says, when did God first speak to the human family about his plan to guide us in good health? We find all the way back, we've talked about this earlier, but in creation, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29. Would you read that for us?
And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you, it will be for food.
So what kind of diet here is God prescribing for the first people on planet Earth?
Well, he says that the food that has seeds,
mm-hmm.
and seeds are what gives life. When we plant a garden, we plant seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we eating that has seeds?
Well, it sounds like plants.
Sounds like plants, doesn't it? Like beans. One of the healthiest foods, you know, most cultures have survived because they've eaten beans and grains,
mm-hmm.
which are seeds. You plant them, they're going to grow. They have life in them and they can produce life. And when we eat those foods, it's going to give us life. And you know, it says here that this is the first time I have given you an herb. The first time give is used in the Bible. And my theology people tell me that the first time something's mentioned in the Bible, that it has some great significance. And so God is giving this gift of life. And he wants us to enjoy life and to have an abundant life. So this is a gift that we can be very thankful for. I mean, eating is one of the greatest gifts that we have, isn't
it? Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And should be enjoyed.
So in God's original plan, he did not include the eating of meat or the eating of flesh. Is that right?
It was plants.
It was a plant-based diet.
It was a plant-based diet.
And many people today may just kind of say, oh, I don't know about that. You know, it's very interesting that in the world today, that's becoming a very popular thing.
We have the science to prove it now.
Yeah.
That eating a plant-based diet is what is the very healthiest diet. We see how it prevents many diseases and can actually help reverse many lifestyle diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about choices, and it can be absolutely delicious and even gourmet. People are often surprised to have meals that are plant-based. But you know, if you think about it, I think a lot of people may eat some meals without meat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have spaghetti with marinara sauce or sandwiches perhaps that don't have meat on them. And
in fact, well, a lot of dishes, like a lot of plates of food for maybe lunch or supper, normally people will have a meat dish, maybe a meatloaf or chicken or whatever. Then they have mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, corn, maybe some broccoli, and a roll.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you remove that one item, the rest of that meal
you
is plant-based.
You still have a plate full, don't you?
It's still plant-based, and so you can substitute that with something else or increase the other items, but most of the meal is plant-based. Now, what is mind-blowing to me is that, as you said, science is now backing up the idea that a plant-based diet is what's best for our health. Well, God wrote that thousands of years. You know, Moses wrote this down as he was inspired by the Spirit of God in the Bible. But the Bible record indicates that that's the very best diet as well, thousands of years before science was ever even really discovered. And yet, it matches what the brightest minds in the world today are finding.
Isn't that exciting?
So to me, that gives great credibility to the scripture.
It does.
That God really does know. There was a power guiding the writing of this book, and it's very fascinating to me. I just love it.
Many cultures, like I mentioned before, their staple was a bean and a grain.
Mm-hmm.
And as they move toward a higher meat diet, they see a greater incidence of diabetes and heart disease. Just India is one example, and I've traveled there and spoken there about diabetes. And they're experiencing that. And people, as they became more affluent, they would eat more meat, and then they would have open heart surgery.
Yeah. So the greater the meat consumption, the greater the level of disease.
That's exactly right.
And very interesting. So some people will say, you know, I've said to them, well, I have a plant-based diet. And they say, well, where do you get your protein?
Yes.
And so I respond.
Ask the cows.
Yeah, that's right. I respond by saying, well, what about elephants? You know, they're much bigger than me, and they're actually vegetarians. Where do they get their protein? And what I've understood, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that science is actually finding that we don't need as much protein as they once thought.
That's right. And you're going to find protein in grains and beans and vegetables and nuts and seeds.
So some of the greens have a lot of protein, and
the
vegetables and the beans and greens have just the right amounts that we need as humans.
The combination of protein, antioxidants, phytochemicals, vitamins, minerals are all there in the plants as God created them.
Wow, that's very fascinating. So friends, God knew what he was doing in creation, and he presents a perfect plan. But you know, sin always introduces all kinds of things, and there came a time when God destroyed the world with a flood. And you know, there wasn't always access to those plants. God opened up another way, another option or an alternative. Wasn't his ideal,
right,
but it was an alternative, and we're going to see that.
Yes, I'd like to point out that God designed the food for us to enjoy and also gave us an opportunity to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden," which means the Garden of Pleasure, "to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man," this is the first time command is used, or commanded, commandment, "you are free to eat from any tree in the garden." So you're free to enjoy all of this amazing food that I've prepared for you. And then it goes on to say, "but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So there was a choice there. There was a choice in the garden of deciding, am I going to follow God's direction, or am I going to choose another way? So the first two commands, or commandments, you might say, the first one is to enjoy, mm-hmm. to enjoy the good food, and the other is to choose.
Yes.
So there are choices.
Yes.
And we are to enjoy food. It's one of the greatest pleasures. And in the Bible, it's used a lot for festivals and gatherings, and just as we do today. But there's also choices mm-hmm. that need to be made.
God certainly made food to taste good. He wanted us to enjoy it, but certainly He wants us to choose what's best. It's not a matter of choosing what tastes good or what tastes bad, but choosing what's best. But the joy is that what is best can and will taste good as well, right?
That's right.
Absolutely.
And some interesting things about our gut bacteria. There's a microbiota is our gut bacteria. And some new science is showing us that the type of bacteria that we have in our gut is dependent upon what we're eating.
Mm.
And if we're eating a lot of sugar and fat, we have the bacteria that love sugar and fat. And actually, that creates a craving for more sugar and fat. But when we're eating good plant foods, then that good bacteria develops in the gut. And that creates a craving for good food and the taste for good food. So we can train ourselves to actually love healthy food and not crave the sugar and fat.
So we can create good cycles in the body.
Exactly.
That actually will help us be stronger in choosing the right things.
That's right.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Well, let's take a look now at God's modified diet from after sin came into the world and altered things. The flood came, and then God gave another option. Number 7 in our lesson says, when God modified his original diet for mankind, what restrictions did he place on what people should eat and not eat? We're going to look at Leviticus 11, verse 3, and God gives this specific command. He says, among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. So God gave a distinction between certain animals. He said, there are certain animals that are clean, certain animals that are not clean. And God forbid the eating of the unclean, but he did allow the eating of the clean. Now, some people say, well, wait a minute, isn't this just for the Jews? The answer is really no, because when you look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 2, Noah was not a Jew. He was not a Jew. He was just a person upon the earth. The Jewish nation came later, way after the flood. And in Genesis 7, 2, he says, you shall take with you 7 of every clean animal, a male and its female, 2 of each animals that are unclean, a male and its female. And so God, even before the flood, distinguishes between clean and unclean. And so the unclean animals all have a purpose on the earth. You know, they have a reason for living, but that reason is not to be consumed for food,
right?
And it's very important for us to understand that. And another thing is very important to understand is that there were different laws in the Old Testament. There were the Ten Commandment laws, which we've actually studied in a previous program, that are eternal. They're lasting forever. They're never fading. And they go from creation until eternity. Then you have the ceremonial laws that were the sacrificial laws. And those were fulfilled when Jesus came and died on the cross. But then there were also health laws that God gave to his people. Were these part of the ceremonial laws, Evelyn?
No.
No, they weren't. They were a different set of laws that God gave to his people for good health.
Mm-hmm.
And so the principles of health really are also eternal because,
yes.
You know, it doesn't matter what day and age you eat certain things that are unclean. If you eat them, it's going to cause damage to the body, no matter which covenant you're under. So those health laws were really separate. And so we want to see what God says, because these things are still practical and applicable for us today. So friends, we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to get a little bit more into the difference between the clean and the unclean, and what the Bible says, what science says. And so we're going to return here in just a few moments, and we look forward to seeing you when we get back.
Jesus is coming and people need to know. I'm JB, one of the many volunteers here at Strong Tower Radio. Won't you join my wife and I, along with many others, and become a covenant partner with Jesus through Strong Tower Radio? Just go to www.strongtowerradio.org, click on that donate button, and become a covenant partner to make that regular monthly tax-deductible gift. Thank you for your prayers and financial support of Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back from our break, friends. My name is Wes Peppers with the Open Word. I'm here with Evelyn Kissinger of Lifestyle Matters, and we're studying a very unique subject of the Bible on physical and spiritual health. And we found already that the Bible has a lot to say about that, and we've talked about how the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and how God invites us to glorify Him through our bodies in these last days. And so we've looked at what that means a little bit practically. Now we're going to get into it just a little bit deeper. We're currently studying lesson number 15 in the It Is Written Bible Study series entitled Living Life to the Fullest. And we've dived in our first two segments through the first eight questions, and now we're going to go straight into question number 9. It says, what did God say about creatures that live in the water? So we're talking here a little bit about clean and unclean. And the Bible distinguishes, even before there were Jews, the concept of clean and unclean. And so really this is a mandate or something that God has given to all mankind, not just the Jewish nation. But we all want to have good health. And so we all need to follow God's principles for health if we want to have that good health. And so we're going to take a look at what the Bible says here in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 9 and 10 about those animals that live in the water.
These you may eat, all that are in the water, whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the sea or in the rivers, that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you.
So God says that these things are an abomination. He says things that do not have fins or do not have scales. Now, when I think about fish, I think of one common fish that does not have scales. And that is catfish.
Catfish.
And I grew up in the South.
So did I.
And catfish was a pretty regular course.
Yes.
And, you know, we just go down to the river or out to the pond and catch supper, you know.
Right.
And we clean those things and throw them in a frying pan. But what is the reason why God says those things are not for you?
Well, I think maybe because they clean the water. They get out the impurities. And they are bottom feeders, and they are the cleanup crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we want to consume things that are the cleanup crew. And I think God's protection is there to say, stay away from these. I've got something better for you.
Yes.
You don't want to be eating those oysters and shellfish and lobsters and crabs and shrimp and things that are on the bottom of the...
Yeah, those things include things without fins and scales. That's seafood as well.
Yes.
Because they're bottom feeders. They're taking in everything that's dead, everything that's rotten, and they're consuming that. And then all those toxins and poisons from those dead things and whatever are going inside them, and it's not good for us to be consuming that. I remember when I used to do catfishing, and as a boy, you know, we would set pieces of meat out on the porch in that hot Alabama sun all day, all night, and all the next day. And then on that second night, when that stuff was good and smelly and raunchy, that's when we'd go catfishing.
Oh, they loved that.
And they loved that. And the stinkier and the more rotten it was, the more they loved it. And God is saying, do you really want to eat something that's eating things that are rotten and stinky? And the answer is no. And friends, these things are not really good for us in any capacity because we're eating leftovers. We're eating all the rotten things. So God counsels us to stay away from those things. So I know some of you are saying, oh man, you're telling me I can't eat shrimp? Are you kidding me? Well, friends, remember that God has always what's best for us. Whatever He's inviting us to surrender to Him, He's ready to give us something better. In fact, not even just better, but the very best.
That's right.
All right, let's keep going here. Number 10. It says, what instruction did God give with regard to eating birds? Leviticus 11, verse 13, He also counsels us there. He says this, and these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, and the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, and the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, basically every type of owl, and vultures, storks, herons, and the bat. What do we find in common with all these creatures, Evelyn?
They are birds of prey, and they feed on the flesh of dead animals.
Mm-hmm.
They're the cleanup crew. for the animals that are out there, the dead animals.
So you have a cleanup crew for the ocean and river.
Yes.
You have a cleanup crew for the air.
That's right.
And God says they've created these things for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Their purpose is not to be consumed by my people, right?
Right.
These things spread disease if we're consuming them?
Yes. What they consume is what we are going to eventually be eating if we eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given us protection.
That's
to tell us we've got a better way.
And that's the primary reason that we don't want to eat them is because God has said, stay away. Now, there's another animal that is very common to us today that God gives us counsel to leave alone. And it's also found in the book of Leviticus chapter 11. Now, remember, friends, we're Bible Christians. We're not Old Testament or New Testament Christians. We're Bible Christians. And these health laws are separate from the ceremonial laws that have been done away with. These health laws really indeed stand forever. And I'm going to show us a verse in a minute that actually proves that. So here's another passage, Leviticus chapter 11, verses 4 through 8. This is what God says. He says, among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Verse 4, nevertheless, these you shall not eat, from among those that chew the cud are those that have cloven hooves. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, it is unclean for you. So no more camel steaks, Evelyn.
Oh, my.
Yeah. The rock hyrax, which is a rat. I was just in South Africa recently, and I saw rock hyrax, an actual one.
Whoa.
It looks very much like a rat, but God says it's unclean. Verse 6, the hare or rabbit, because it chews the cud but doesn't have cloven hooves, it is unclean. Here's the one that's very common, and the swine, God says.
Mm.
What's a swine?
A swine, the pig. Ooh, the bacon on the with the eggs.
That's
and
right.
The ham.
Miss Piggy.
Wow, yeah.
He says, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet is not chew the cud, it is unclean. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. And so, Evelyn, can you give us any thoughts about that specific one, the swine, that's very common to people today?
Yeah, the swine, we used to be really concerned about trichinosis, you know, when pork was not heated to a high enough temperature. But, you know, when we are trying to reverse disease or prevent disease, we're suggesting our recommendation is to avoid many meats, red meats particularly,
yes,
and pork. And that is one of the guidelines that will help the body to restore. And so it is scientifically proven that by reducing red meats and pork, that it can reduce risk of disease. Things like diabetes and heart disease and some forms of arthritis, because it causes inflammation. And inflammation is the root of lifestyle diseases. So reducing meats is very important point for staying healthy and getting healthy.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting that science is saying that blood is not good for you, the red meat, and the
that's
fat
right.
as well.
That's right.
Because that's where the toxins are stored, and the blood
right.
is purifying the body, and it's carrying the toxins out of the body. You know, in the New Testament, many people say, well, that's just Old Testament stuff. But friends, scientifically, again, it's proven, and even in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 15, there's a letter that the apostles wrote to new believers. And in Acts 15, it says here in verse 29, he's counseling these new believers. He says that you abstain, this is God's will, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and keep yourself from sexual immorality. And so even in the New Testament, they say, keep yourselves away from blood because it's damaging to the body.
Right. And life is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is also a statement of respect for life. These animals that we have just seen that are unclean, they are eating other animals.
Yes.
They're eating blood
yes.
from the other animals. And so God's saying, I am a God of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be respectful of life.
Yes.
And to avoid eating blood.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I can remember when I was a boy, my grandpa had a lot of farm animals. He didn't understand this truth from the Bible that we're discovering today. And he had pigs on his little farm. And he had chickens and cows and goats and all kinds of things. But whenever an animal would die, it doesn't matter what the animal was. It could have been a goat. It could have been a chicken. It could have been a cow even. He would take that animal and dump it in to the pig pen. And you would come back the next day and whatever it was gone. The entire animal would be eaten by the pig. And when those pigs would get that smell of blood, they would just go crazy. Mm-hmm. And so pigs are some of the most unclean things that you can eat, both internally and externally. And God is commanding us to stay away. And friends, you may balk at that, but there's actually a verse in the Bible where God speaks about this very plainly and very specifically. And he's very strong about it because, friends, it's not about us deciding for ourselves what we're going to do, but we need to be obedient to him. In Isaiah chapter 66, it's talking about the time of Jesus' soon return. And in this book, in this chapter, if you read verse 14 and on, he talks about, actually in verse 15, he says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, with his chariots." It's talking about the return of Christ. And then he says in verse 17, something interesting. He says, "Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouth, shall be consumed together, says the Lord." Now, that may sound intense, but we have to look at what's behind that. Somebody says, "Well, you mean God's going to destroy me for eating a piece of bacon?" Well, I'm not saying that, but what God does say is that we have those choices to make.
That's right. It's about choice. Am I going to believe what God said, and will I follow his command?
And notice this group of people. It says those who sanctify themselves. In other words, they say, "I'm going to do whatever I want to." Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter what God says. I'll eat what I want and God will still accept me. Well, friends, you know, God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they were removed from the garden. So friends, we want to make those good choices.
Yes.
We want to honor Christ. We want to, out of love for Christ and because of our relationship with him, mm-hmm. do what's pleasing in his sight. And what's pleasing in his sight is what's going to be the healthiest and the best for us.
He only wants the best for us.
He only wants the best. Well, let's keep going. Let's shift gears here. We have a few minutes left. We're going to jump to number 11, Evelyn, and this is one that you can probably speak to. It says, "Does God speak in favor of consuming alcohol?" Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, notice what God says here.
"Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise."
Now, scientifically, what do we find about alcohol?
Well, one point in the Bible, when alcohol is mentioned, you don't have a good story,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that by consuming alcohol, that it has a huge effect on the brain
mm-hmm.
and the body. It affects every cell in the body, and it's also high in calories. But as we consume alcohol, we start to get a little loose with our decisions.
Yeah.
And then typical is to have a little bit of alcohol before a meal and then consuming more alcohol,
mm-hmm.
More food than maybe you had planned. So
yes.
The self-control piece is dampened there. Also, we all understand the devastation of alcoholism
mm-hmm.
and the hold that it has in our country and what that's doing both to the body, to the brain, to relationships, to car accidents, to every area of our life. We know that by consuming alcohol, it raises blood pressure, it raises blood sugar levels, it
mm-hmm.
increases risk of heart disease, it increases one's weight, the mm-hmm. obesity epidemic. So you can find in all of the lifestyle diseases that the consumption of alcohol only adds trouble
mm-hmm.
to that.
I remember when I, you know, before I knew the Lord, I was an atheist, I used to consume a lot of alcohol. And whenever I would drink, the very first thing that would happen to me is my nose would start getting numb.
Mm.
And then that numbness would just kind of go up.
All the way up your head
into my
forehead.
And my whole forehead would be numb.
Yes.
And that's where the frontal lobe is, where
that's
we're making
right.
decisions.
Uh-huh.
And it's really through the brain that God is communicating with us. Is
that's
it not?
Right.
And so we want to be careful with that. And the Bible says, don't touch it. We find here in Proverbs 23, verse 31 to 33, "Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things." And so the Bible speaks very clearly about the dangers of using alcohol and abusing that. And even one, they find, even one drink begins to impair the mental process.
The judgment.
Yes,
yes,
the judgment.
And we're seeing a huge relationship between alcohol and incidence of cancer.
Sure, mm-hmm. absolutely. Well, let's move on to something else. So friends, I want to encourage you that if you're struggling with this addiction, there is hope.
That's hope.
There is hope, and Christ can give us the victory, and He can change our hearts so that we don't even desire this anymore. So if you're battling with this, we want you to know that there is power to overcome, and Christ gives us that power, and He's willing to change our hearts so that we can be free of these things.
And we do have a lot of that material on our
LifestyleMatters.com
website. We have material on overcoming bad habits and addictions.
You have a whole series
of dimes. A whole series called Living Free.
Can people access those
That's
for free
right.
online?
They can get that through LifestyleMatters.com.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are some free information, and there's
yes.
also some things
mm-hmm.
that you can purchase as
sure.
well.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we're running mm-hmm. quickly out of time here, but sometimes people ask the question also about tobacco. What about tobacco products? Well, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 says, "You shall not kill." Now, somebody says, "Well, wait a minute, I'm not hurting other people when I'm smoking or chewing," but that commandment to not kill also includes ourselves, doesn't
mm-hmm, it?
And
does.
What do we find about tobacco with science today?
Yes, it increases the risk of all the diseases. The first thing you'll see in reducing or preventing disease is stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something that affects not only the body, but the brain and the frontal lobe and judgment. To realize that life is sacred and to respect life, it is the highest risk factor for heart disease and cancer,
yeah.
especially lung cancer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think that God is willing and able to give us the way out?
He can give us the way out because He tells us that if we will trust in Him, He gives us power. He gives us power to overcome. And that waking up every morning and saying, "God, deliver me. I'm about ready to get up and I'm going to be making choices today and I need Your power to help me through this day." And also reaching out and the types of people that you hang out with. That really influences the type of decisions that we make, and seeking support. There may be a need for a health professional mm-hmm. to help in some of these areas.
For
so,
sure.
So be sure and seek that yeah. help out as well.
Friends, if you have a heavy addiction like alcohol or drugs or substance abuse, we want to encourage you to seek out health professionals. We believe that God has the power to deliver you, but He also works through these folks. And we want to encourage you to see your doctor or some kind of special program in the hospital that can be able to give you assistance with that.
And we have those materials on LifestyleMatters.com
mm-hmm.
that are free. Just go to our website and you'll find many materials that will be able to guide you in that direction.
Absolutely. We're going to keep moving along here. Number 14 says, how did Paul describe the Christian journey towards our heavenly home? And we're finding that in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and 25.
Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown.
All right, so I find a word here that I think is very key. It says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate.
Temperate.
What does temperance mean, Evelyn?
Temperate means making the right decision at the right time in the right place.
All right.
Of making those choices that give balance in your life, that are going to give you life and give it to you more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
Self-control, of deciding that you are choosing life, saying yes to life. You may be saying no to that cookie, but you're saying yes to life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's wonderful. You know, I think of the example of a car. You know, the car comes with an owner's manual, right? And we have come with an owner's manual,
we
the
have.
Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I look at the owner's manual, which says put gas in the gas tank and oil in the engine, I say, well, you know, that's what it says, but I don't really need to do that. I'm going to put orange juice in the gas tank, and let's say I'm just going to put water in the engine in place of the oil. How far and how long
is that car
going to go? It's going to be trouble, right? And it's going to create problems for me. And so just like we wouldn't think of doing that, we want to put the right things in our body that God has described and prevent the wrong things from going in there as well. You know, Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing will God withhold from us those who walk uprightly. And so anything that God asks us to refrain from is something that He has never designed for us to have in the first place.
That's right.
And He wants us to have the very best. You know, Romans 12, verse 1, Paul appeals to the Christian believers, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And what this is really talking about is surrendering the life to Christ, surrendering every choice to Him. And when we do that, we're always going to find what's best. And He's always going to give us the ideal. And we're never going to be disappointed when we do that. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree.
All right. Now, friends, you may have a lot of questions that we didn't have time to answer today. You know, a lot of times people say, well, these unclean foods, what about Peter's vision in the book of Acts? What about Paul telling Timothy to pray over his food? We don't have time to actually cover those today. We would love to, but there are good Bible answers. Now, what I want to encourage you to do is go to BibleStudyOffer.com, get your free study guides, and those are actually covered in here. There are good Bible answers for those things. And so, friends, don't turn away from this because you didn't get your question answered. Just keep studying the Bible and digging deeper, and you will find the answer. We'd be glad if you call our station. We'd be glad to help you find the answers to that as well. So we're going to end with this, Evelyn, and I think this really sums up the whole thing. The last question says, where can we find the strength to adopt the health principles that are recommended by God? We find the answer to that, Philippians 4:13, one of the most wonderful texts in the Scriptures.
I love this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
So where do we find that victory?
You find that victory on a daily basis as we connect and stay connected with God.
Mm-hmm. And He can give us victory over any habit.
Over any habit.
Any addiction.
Any addiction.
Any battle and every struggle.
Any battle and every struggle. He is there with us through it.
And He delights in giving us that victory.
He is about restoration, renewal, and recovery.
Amen. I think of John chapter 1, verse 12, where the Bible says that, and to those who received Him, to them He gave power to be the sons, and I will add daughters of God. And He has the power that we need to overcome. And He's willing to give that to us. Well, Evelyn, today there may be somebody wrestling with this. There may be somebody struggling. They may have an addiction to smoking or drinking or foods that are not good for them or some other thing, maybe gambling. I don't know. There's all kinds of lifestyle choices that people make that are not the best for them. We know that Christ can give us the power. Maybe today somebody says, I want to surrender that to You. Friends, if you're listening today and you sense Christ speaking to you, don't turn away from it. But say, Lord, I believe that You can give me the victory. I'm exercising my will to choose just now. Strengthen me and give me the power for victory. Evelyn, would you pray just now for that person who may be making that decision?
Heavenly Father, You are the all-powerful God. You have created us. You want to give us life. You want to give us victory. I pray that You would instill in us that desire, that power that You so desire for us to have. Thank You for filling us with that power to make those choices, those simple choices every day that make a difference in our life. And we thank You for that. Amen.
Amen. Evelyn, I want to thank you for being with us here today on The Open Word, and what a blessing it has been to have your expert counsel with us in addition to the Bible verses that we've looked at today. And friends, again, if you'd like to find a church that is believing and teaching these things, you can go to strongtoweradio.org, the listener resources, and there'll be a list of churches that are Sabbath-keeping, Bible-believing, and looking forward to the second coming of Christ very soon. We invite you to come and join us in worship, and we look forward to seeing you next time on The Open Word. God bless you until then.